Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, the world's premier weekly look at the big pop culture things happening each week. I'm Boyd Hilton, by the way. I often forget to introduce myself. That's who I am.
You're really tanned, Boyd.
Am I? Mm. Well, I've just come back from Barcelona. Mm. Yeah.
It's good to have you back safe and sound.
Thank you very much. Those voices you hear are the delightful tones of Kay Ribeiro and Stephanie Seelan, two of my very, very most cherished colleagues where I work at Heat
and
Magazine.
Friends.
Yeah, and friends.
Best
and
friends?
Best, greatest friends, best friends. This week, I am back from Barcelona. I got back quite late last night, just when recording this, listeners, and so I'm a little jet lagged, obviously, because only an hour in difference in time.
He's very grouchy.
But I'm a bit tired. I'm not grouchy. You keep saying I'm grouchy, like, listeners.
Come on, listen.
The reason Steph's saying I'm grouchy is because we have a disagreement over this week's episode of Game of Thrones that I think we'll probably cover in the opening stuff we've been watching section of the podcast. There's a difference between being grouchy and being bad mood and just disagreeing with you about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, there is, but you're being grouchy. You're
I'm
being
not.
Very grouchy
I'm
about
very
it.
Happy about it.
The pogs will decide.
People on the ground, our listeners. Anyway, the big things we've discussed, it's a huge week actually in television. I know we do TV shows every week, but this week, it's the start of the autumn TV season, which might seem a bit weird because we're still in August, but the huge shows start this week and we've got four of them to discuss. We've got the new series of The Great British Bake Off.
Woo!
Yes, I think it does deserve a woohoo.
It really does.
The big move to Channel 4, it's happening next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. You can all watch it. We've all seen it.
And we'll be discussing
it. In a no-holds-barred manner. Mm. There's series two of what I think was a huge hit for ITV, Victoria, about, of course, Queen Victoria, mm-hmm. and her husband, Albert, who speaks in a slight German accent like that.
And he's very good. It's like he's in the room.
I was thinking of doing the whole podcast and like Albert, accent of Albert, like played by Tom Hughes, slightly whispering German.
This is a real habit. I do like where he goes, Toya.
Yeah. We will be talking about that later.
Of course, he's so hot.
Yeah, he's got a funny German accent.
Even with the accent, I think he's hotter with the accent.
So it's that. Celebrity Island with Bear Grylls. That's back. I think it's the third series of this particular, I think so, format. Yeah, where Bear stands there doing links and then lots of famous people gather on the island. And we'll get to it. It's harsh. It's a harsh regime, isn't it, Kay?
Very harsh.
There's a lot to say about that. And finally, another huge show, Strike, which is the TV adaptation of the Cormoran Strike novels, I'm banging the table, written by J.K. Rowling as... Robert Galbraith. Who's Kenneth Galbraith? Robert Galbraith. So the first novel came out. She actually wrote it under the pen name of Robert Galbraith. She didn't tell anyone.
But everyone thought it was brilliant.
Everyone thought it was good. I mean, only got a few little smashing reviews because it was another small crime novel that came out. And then, like, months later, it was revealed it was her. And everyone suddenly went mental and said they're really good. And they are really good.
Do you think she just told one person and they were like, oh, I'll just tell one person?
No, I know how it came out.
Oh, do you?
Well, I researched this because I was quite interested in it. And apparently, so Indian Night at the Times had tweeted about this novel being really good. And then someone had tweeted, a lady tweeted, said, oh, do you know it's J.K. Rowling. And it turns out, and then there was speculation whether this lady was actually was actually J.K. Rowling writing, Twitter account. It all blew into this, hoo-ha.
Yeah.
And actually turns out that lady was married to an associate of J.K. Rowling's law firm and got in a lot of trouble.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
J.K. Rowling's got a law firm?
No, as
I say, the lawyers are representing her
exactly.
Many cases against newspapers.
Wow.
And stuff.
Yeah. So Jo Rowe probably doesn't speak to them anymore. She's probably really cross.
No, there was there was a whole hoo-ha about, because that's obviously very private matter.
Yeah, I probably should have asked about this in the screening I hosted of this show.
Anytime you need me to do your research, I'm available.
London's BFI, South Bank. Anyway, that was a good story. Kay's shaking her head.
I'm very impressed that I asked a question and you knew the answer immediately.
Well, so don't be so surprised.
No, I mean, I'm shocked to my very core.
Case full of knowledge.
No, I know.
Thanks, Boydo.
Yeah. I was...
Divide and conquer.
Oh, my God. You know what?
In this early stage. Shall we start? In the what we've been watching section, where we talk about other stuff that we've been watching in the last few weeks or so, or week or so, really, I was going to mention Game of Thrones anyway. So this is the episode. This is the penultimate episode, right? Where
just going to limber up for this.
Yeah, limber up. Get limber. This was famously leaked. Leaked
it was
on
leaked
the internet.
Oh, in
By
Spain.
The Spanish people.
No, everywhere. Were they Spanish?
Yeah, it was Spanish.
Oh,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realise that.
Oh God, I'm using hoo-ha a lot, but it wasn't hoo-ha.
Hullabaloo, maybe.
and they're trying to get money from HBO and everything, aren't these dodgy leaking people. Dodgy people
hacked
HBO. Yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah.
Why are they trying to get money from them?
It's a big hacking thing, that's what they do.
Once it's out there, someone sends it to their friend and they send it to their friend. Yeah. And then these things happen. Right. What can you do?
Well, on the internet, as soon as it leaks, people go, my theory is that when something is people get to watch something really early, like illicitly, they get slightly overexcited. And people were posting on Twitter and social media, this is the greatest episode ever. It's in my top one of all time, this and the other. And putting my cards on the table. I enjoyed it very much. I mean, I've loved this series. I think it's brilliantly exciting, incredibly fast-moving, action-packed. And this wasn't a very action-packed episode. Lots of cases watch it, dragons and fighting
dragons,
and battles.
Eggs.
And that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think it was anywhere near being one of the greatest episodes of all time. I just thought it was a really good, very spectacular. But for me, I love Game of Thrones for its characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for its kind of political machinations and kind of, you know, what it says about power and the nature of that and ambition and that. And for me, this was very exciting dragon stuff and fighting, lots of fighting of White Walkers, which are these kind of zombie-like ghost things. Mm. But it didn't feature the greatest character of all, called Cersei. So for all these reasons, it was not up there for me. But I get the feeling that for you it was up there, Stephanie Seeland.
Let me just take a little bit of time to tell you why you're so wrong about that.
Okay.
All opinions are right. Come on.
Should we do a spoiler alert? If you haven't, so this is going out Tuesday, and of course this went out on Sky last night, Now TV.
But all Game of Thrones people
they would have seen
either
it,
watched the leak one or
right.
would have watched
You're
it,
right.
stayed
yeah.
up, or watched
I just
it
you know I just don't want to be paranoid about spoiling, but we are going to discuss plot
okay.
points.
Okay, we are going to discuss. Right, we've been waiting all season long to find out where the White Walkers are. Okay, and we find out where they are, and not only that. Not only that, Daenerys Stormborn comes in and saves Jon Snow because she loves him so much when he's just about to be killed.
Yeah, she only met him a few weeks ago. Carry on.
Listen.
Carry on.
As soon as I knew you for about 3 days and I knew we'd be in love forever. Okay, so she rescues him. Not only that, one of the greatest moments is that Daenerys Stormborn has an incredible outfit change. When she goes out to get on her dragon, she was wearing like this amazing, like, I'm ready for the ice battle robe, and then she goes, and then she puts fire around all those terrible people, and then she rescues
the dragon. Did
yeah, and then she rescues them all. Oh,
well,
so high there.
First, you went really high, and let me just correct you on a couple of points.
She
manage to rescue Jon Snow at all because he fell in the sea and had to be rescued by someone else who came along in the nick of time,
at
the end.
Uncle, that was
yeah,
his stupid.
That was lucky.
He told her to go.
Listen,
he told her to go.
Can I just quickly interject and say one thing? We have had some feedback from one of our super pogs.
Oh, yeah.
And he was slightly concerned about the level of, you know, arguing, you know, sometimes our disagreement. And he was worried for us.
Was
and
it Torres?
It was a pog. I won't name because I don't want any kind of reprisals. But he was concerned and we said we needed a group hug. So I'm just...
We're being civilized.
Yeah, but he's wrong about this. This is the thing, because everybody I've spoken to loves this episode.
When you say he, you mean me.
Yeah, you're wrong, because you're wrong.
I'm here.
Boyd. Right. Boyd, it was so exciting. After I watched it, I actually felt physically sick. So I was so excited by it. No, I really did. It was so amazing.
Boyd actually slapped his own head.
I don't want to I did just slap my own head. I don't want to labour the point too much, but we've already seen a big dragon saving the day scene 2 weeks ago.
But not north of the wall.
Well, so what? All right. I was excited to see the White Walkers north of the wall and the dragons arriving.
You're saying it just makes it sound boring.
Let me just make this point. Surely you must admit, I mean, it was exciting. In terms of spectacle, I'm with you.
Spectacle, that's right. What I want from Game of
Thrones.
Well,
I think we just have different experts. It was one of the most spectacular episodes.
I think we'll have to agree to disagree.
But
no, we will not.
Sorry, Kay, this is boring for you if you haven't watched it, but I've got to make this point, is that the plot-wise, it's just gone completely haywire. It has. They went to kidnap a White Walker to show Cersei, who's not going to give a flying shit, by the way.
Well, she is, because that's what's coming to get her. She'll realise that there's a... Oh,
she's too arrogant. She's too arrogant. Anyway, but my main point is, just one of many ludicrous moments. I've already mentioned the arrival of the uncle to save him at the end. But the fact that two things. One, the army of thousands of White Walkers, these walking zombie things, Kay, undead zombie walking things, suddenly just stop because they think they might fall into the ice. Right, there's thousands of them attacking seven people.
Yeah, but that's because
our
they can't
of
survive
seven.
In the water.
And they just, who knows what the rules are? I mean, there's just random rules. They're just all standing there. It was preposterous. And then the final indignity of the storyline, of the plot. Where did they get the chains from to drag the dragon up, the dead dragon, from the sea to turn into a white walking dragon, which is what's going to happen? Where did they get this massive chains from?
Seriously, you're asking me in a programme about dragons and undead people where they got chains. That's the thing that's really concerning you, where they got the chains from.
Yeah, because I just think they've lost all plot.
Oh,
credibility.
It was a spectacle and it was amazing. And
we'll agree.
No. Get on the Twitter, people, because I want to know. I want to know what you think. I thought this was an amazing episode. And please let me know if you too felt physically sick.
I feel physically sick mainly because I'd had too much to drink the night before in Barcelona. It was not in my top 10 episodes.
If you do want to communicate with us.
Oh, yeah.
Listen,
at Boyd
Junction.
Hilton, that's me. If you agree with me that it was just...
Oh, it's a poll.
A perfectly decent episode.
It was amazing.
Or tweet at Steph Seelan if you think it's the greatest thing ever and you had to be sick because it was so exciting.
No, and if you don't watch Game of Thrones...
If you don't give a flying damn, then at Kerry Barrow and say, why are they bothering with Game of Thrones?
Really, I'm going to get you to watch this episode. And as an isolated episode on its own, Kay, you will end up going, what a spectacle.
Let's move on.
And then vomit.
Kay, what have you been watching away from this preposterousness of zombies and dragons and...
Okay, well, one of the things I've been watching is ridiculous because I spent some time with my mum over the weekend, and as you, Boyd, know, she's an avid catchphrase watcher. Now,
wait a minute, are we really going? We're going from Game of Thrones to that rhyming game show.
Seamless.
Oh, I can't wait.
No, not the rhyming game show. Oh. Actual catchphrase.
Actual catchphrase. Bella.
Yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. Because last week, if anyone listened, we talked about Len Goodman's Partners in Rhyme and said it's very similar to Catchphrase, the classic show.
Yeah.
My mum hasn't moved on past that show, so she's still watching it. But I wanted to tell you about it because the week before we'd talked about Street Mate, and there was a girl on there, a Welsh girl, who's very into dinosaurs. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Of course.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Turns out she's a serial contestant on shows.
No.
She was on Catchphrase.
Oh my God.
I know. Interesting,
you've
right?
You've united us in shock.
Wow. Exactly.
And,
really
and, a,
shocked.
And a little bit awe.
I walked in. My mum's on her 50th episode. I was like, that woman looks familiar.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, it was her. So wow. Anyway, that was just something to mention.
So really what you're saying is that show is still better than the Len Goodman's Partners in Rhyme, which is its...
Oh, goes without saying, Boydo. Yeah. Goes without saying.
It's got a proper host.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry. Going back to last week's argument.
You are really gunning for me
we
this
We should
week.
Probably say, shouldn't we? Because I wrote about Len Goodman not being particularly good. I love him as a human being, don't get me wrong, but not being a professional host. And I think, you know, we should mention the sad death of Sir Bruce Forsyth,
oh,
of course.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest
R.I.P.
ever.
The greatest.
TV host.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Steph, what have you been watching?
Whoa,
oh, sorry,
oh,
there's more.
Sorry.
There's more. Oh,
not just
catchphrase. No.
Oh, I mean.
Not just catchphrase. That was just a fun addendum.
Apologies.
There's a list. Yeah. You can see at least four things on there.
No, I want to tell you about I Know Who You Are, which is this BBC Four Spanish legal drama, which is fantastic, and I got really into it. It's about a hotshot lawyer who's accused of abducting and murdering his niece, and he has this terrible accident and has supposedly has amnesia, and it's whether he can prove his innocence or not. And it's fantastic. So.
Is it a show you have to read?
It is a reading show, yeah. It's got subtitles.
But you speak Spanish, don't you?
No, Kay speaks Spanish.
I thought you did as well.
Why would I speak Spanish?
I just thought you had
multilingual. How can you fall out over that? I speak Spanish.
I think she's in a bad mood. She's taking offense to everything.
Anyway,
I'm taking offense to the idea I think you might speak Spanish.
Okay, listen.
I'm taking offense to the fact that you don't know me well enough to know that I don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
And we've been friends for like 15 billion years.
Do you
years.
Know what I'm interested in?
When have I ever spoken Spanish to you?
Hey, listen. Do you know what I'm really interested in?
No.
What have you been watching, Steph?
Thanks, Kay.
Wow. Anyway, we should say that series. No, I'm just pointing out it's on Saturday nights on BBC Four. I'm just
yeah, that's true.
A,
and
a
it's,
service
you know what?
To the listener.
But the only annoying thing about me mentioning this is that it's leaving iPlayer soon. So you know.
Well, quick.
Yeah, right.
Watch the bloody thing on iPlayer.
Well, let's just say I dipped in at series episode three because one and two had already gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, still you're enjoying it, so it's worth checking out.
Oh my God,
out.
It's brilliant.
Apart from the mediocre Game of Thrones episode, what else?
He's goading me, guys. He really is.
It's a goad.
Right. I watched this amazing documentary on the Netflix. I told Boyd about it this morning. It's called
remembered you told me. So I'm not going to now say claim that I've discovered it on Netflix, which is what I did last week.
Yes. Yeah. It's called I Called Him Morgan. It's about a jazz trumpeter called Lee Morgan. Kay's laughing in the
She's
way trumpet.
She's laughter. I'm taking this seriously now.
It's about a jazz trumpeter called Lee Morgan and his wife, okay? But that's an amazing archive interview footage. And it's all about basically his life, and he kind of succumbs to heroin addiction. And then his wife, I'm laughing, it's not funny. His wife shoots him.
Oh my God. You are, I mean, apologies, for you are laughing through this description
of it. It's incredible. And if you love jazz,
you made me laugh as well.
It's a really, really amazing documentary.
What if you don't like jazz?
You'd still like it because it's a very interesting story. Who doesn't like jazz?
Oh my God, you and me are like, what's happening? I can't stand jazz. I think it's really boring.
Okay. Jazz? So, listen. Hey, Boyd, what have you been watching?
You're already. I mean, we're not.
She's moving us on.
Yeah.
I'm just the UN here. I'm literally just
eyes key. Do you know what I'm also watching? Is any of you watching How to Get Away with Murder?
No,
series.
I really want to catch
really
up.
Good.
I watched episode one. I liked it. Yeah.
Oh no, it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Oh, and also, do you know what else I'm watching? I'm so sorry. This is not just about what Steph's watching, but the current series of Ballers. Boyd just did a look here, pretend look at his watch. Current series
Ballers,
is incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway,
with
Boyd.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like Ballers? I just wanted to very quickly mention what a film, because Detroit is out this week.
John Boyega.
Yeah. Down on Friday, and I think it's one of the films of the year. So I just wanted to mention to it. It stars John Boyega and Will Poulter. Will Poulter.
Oh,
John Boyega's doing a lot of the press for it, which is natural because he's Star Wars, he's a huge star. But Will Poulter is incredible in it. Terrifying as this racist cop. It's set in 1967, based on an actual incident when there were loads of riots happening in the South in America. And there was this real incident where this in a motel, someone shot a fake gun, just like a toy gun.
Mm.
And that was the excuse used by the racist police in the city to terrorize this group of black people in this motel, along with a couple of white females that they were just having fun with. And it's based on a real incident, and it's relentlessly terrifying and unbelievably scary, but brilliantly done. Absolutely, Catherine Bigelow directed it.
Brilliant.
Point Break and lots of The Hurt Locker. It's just a really, really great film. But the main kind of thing for me, like in terms of the acting, Will Poulter, who is really funny in most of the stuff he does, is absolutely horrendously horrifying as this racist
Oscar worthy?
Oscar worthy, yeah. Ooh. I think he'll get Oscar nominated, yeah. Yeah, Kate's looking at me like I'm mad for recommending it. I mean, it's distressing.
I was thinking, God, it's so it's depressing how relevant it is now.
Yeah, and of course, it's got with Black Lives Matter and everything. Mm. It's kind of like, you know, this has always been an issue.
Mm.
And now going back to 67.
Well, it has always been an issue.
That's always been an issue really in America, yeah. And so, yeah, I think it's a must-see film.
Oh.
Moving on, though. Couldn't be a greater contrast between Detroit and the Great British Bake Off is back on Channel 4 on Tuesday. We've all seen it.
Yeah.
In Heat, by the way, in the new issue of Heat magazine, which is where we all work, out today, Kay is masterminded, or can only be described as an epic 10-page special.
Oh, some people might say it's all you need to know.
All you need to know about the new, brand new series of Bake Off with the new judges, the new presenters, and, of course, the new bakers.
Yeah. But can I just say, right, that obviously we know everyone was very upset when it moved from BBC. And then Kay went on set, didn't she? And she came back in, she came into conference, she was like, don't worry, guys, this is all going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you met everyone, didn't you?
I went down to the tent. So the things you need to know, just top line. Same theme tune, same tent, same location. Same challenges, or different challenges, but same like technical bake.
They bake cakes.
Signature bake. Yeah, there's a lot of baking and flour involved.
Yeah, same presenters, same... No, I'm joking.
No, not the same presenters. But the point is that it's very much the same look and feel for me. So when I went down, I was very reassured because I'm a big Bake Off fan. And I thought, great. And then I got chats with Sandy Toxvig and Noel Fielding, and also Prue Leith, who's the new
So
judge.
Toxvig and Fielding are the new Mel and Sue. They're the presenters. They've been thrown together as the presenters of this show. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Paul Hollywood is the only representative of
the stalwart.
Classic Bake Off, the stalwart. He's joined by Prue Leith, is the new Mary Berry, of course, in all the interviews. I'm not the new Mary Berry, I'm the new Prue
Leith. She's not even the new Prue Leith. She's the old Prue Leith.
She's the old Prue Leith.
Yeah.
She's Prue Leith. And we've got a guide, a very handy guide, I have to say, in your epic Bake Off 10-page special to the new gang of bakers. And one of the great things, they do always cast really interesting people, don't they? So, and there's a kind of an interesting gaggle. There's a Russian... There's a young guy, student from Hackney, called Liam, who's like the youngest. Is he like
19.
Oh, yeah. There you go, 19. There's Stephen, a marketing guy from Watford. And there's a lovely grandma from Liverpool
called Flo. Oh, she's my favourite, Flo.
who is very Liverpudlian, and Paul, being a Scouser, picks up on that and kind of talks about her accent.
He gets very twinkly-eyed about her.
He does get very twinkly-eyed, you're right. So there's yeah, the classic kind of smattering of interesting Baker. So bottom line is, so Kay, you thought it was going to be fine when you went on set, and now you've watched the first episode. Is it fine? Is it as good as the original? Is it better than the original? Is it the same as the original?
So many questions. Yeah, having seen the first episode, I completely remain the same, that it's completely fine. It's exactly, anyone who's a purist, anyone who love Mel, Mary, Sue, all of them, purists, people like Doctor Who, you know, Doctor Who fans who are really upset about the new appointment of a female doctor, they're not going to like it, right?
Interesting, so
people,
in that comparison.
Can draw comparisons to anything.
I think people, okay. Doctor Who fans who weren't happy with the appointment of the new doctor, a lot of those people were very stupid, sexist people. I think it's a difference between...
Well, I don't know. I think the point is that some people don't like change and don't like, you know, modernising of certain things.
Change averse.
Exactly. And I think those people are going to be grumpy about this. And my advice to them is just don't tune in. Right? Just don't tune in. Because I think everyone else who likes baking and likes the show is still going
to
like it. And I think Noel and Sandy are brilliant together. Yeah, they're the odd couple, an unlikely combo together. But I think they work so well. And the whole point is, if you're going to do this show again, you can't find substandard Mel and Sue, people who are just, you know, the same but not as funny. You know, it's like buying a supermarket owned brand of your favourite product. You know what I mean? You've got to do something completely different. And I think with these two, they have. That's
Steph,
my verdict.
So let's get our nail our colours to the mast. Right.
Yeah.
I'm using that.
I loved it.
So, but old school. You're a purist. You liked old.
Yeah, I loved
Bake Off.
You watch
it from the start.
Yeah, I think
just testing you on your level of Bake Off devotion.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You're a huge fan.
I mean, just to say yes, I'd say yeah. I think she did.
You know which way I'm going on this. Yeah. Steph, what about you? Are you a big devotee of the Bake Off?
I'm a devotee. I absolutely loved. I also went on set of Bake Off, and I. When I met Mary Berry and she embraced me, it was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Old school, you went on the set years
old
ago.
Old school,
years
I ago. Went on set. And so I was even more upset when they decided to change it up. So I was like, no. I'd had personal experience. I was like,
we were
this
like the same
horrendous.
As everyone else was like, I'm not going to watch it.
I'm not, it's not Bake Off then. Make it something else. Make it a different show. But...
Great British Cake Off.
Exactly. You know, just change
you had that
a word.
Sleeve.
It was very different.
And it will be completely different.
Yeah.
But, and also I was just a bit, but I do love Sandy Toksvig a lot. And because I love QI. And I have to say, I absolutely laughed out loud at this new series. I loved it. I thought they were perfect. I think I think the beauty is they actually haven't changed any of the really beloved things about it, apart from obviously the presenters were beloved and Mary Berry, but I think Prue Leith is like Mary Berry.
Oh, she's firm but fair. She's very good.
And also, they appear to have given all of Mary Berry's bomber jackets to Sandy Toksvig, so it's fine. She's like wearing floral
Sandy,
bomber jackets.
Sandy loves a loud bomber jacket. I mean, she wears them on QI.
Well, she can pull them off well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, saying that Prue Leith isn't the new Mary Berry is just stupid because she absolutely is. She speaks exactly the same intonation pattern. She says all the same stuff. I mean, she is just Mary Berry, a bit taller.
Yeah, she is similar.
Also, can I just say, Noel, in the flesh and also on the show, I think he's incredibly charming.
Yeah.
And he's got such a good rapport
with
the contestants. And, like, I just love the fact that he so erratically lurches around the 10 and, like, you know, I think he's very fun. He's particularly good.
And they're very knowing as well in this first episode about the fact
that
they
start with a cute little thing, don't they? There's a bit they do at the beginning
to acknowledge that
they
know...
They arrive in a fake
That people are upset about the change. But I'm sensing, Boyd, that you didn't love it as much as Kay and I loved
it. Well, funny you should mention that.
Okay.
Well, first of all, we're responding to Kay's this thing that, you know, it's like the Doctor Who, as I've it's not like that. So it's because I mean, there are people who just are averse to change, totally.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
No, I'm not at all. I mean, I think the issue for me is that some change can be good when a show is like, you know, a really good show and you're improving it and you're building on it and you change the teams. It happens with X Factor and, you know, Britain's Got Talent, those types of shows where they get a new judging
panel. A refresh.
Those things, absolutely fine. The problem I have with this is that they've taken a show which is absolutely perfect in every way. So, you know, the Bake Off went from, having watched it from the very beginning through all the years, as we all have, Mel and Sue, perfect team together. Genuine, the genuine chemistry and the understanding they have that they're the best, two of the funniest, best presenters out there. Mm. And they had the perfect tone for it, and they're cheeky, you know, their innuendos and all of that worked brilliantly. And they kind of pushed the boundaries of that. It became something extraordinarily out there. Innuendos and double entendres. Kate's backtracking, like they weren't so good.
No, they were really good. I don't know if they were like, what did you say? Groundbreaking, did you say?
No, I should push back the boundaries. It was for a pre-Watershed show.
Okay, fine. I'll accept
o'clock.
That.
They were very cheekily rude.
Yeah, of course. In a
brilliant
way. Yeah.
Brilliantly judged. Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood, brilliant together as well. The contrast between the two of them, that relationship they had together, you know, often disagreed, all the little running jokes. And of course, you know, brilliant selection of casts every year, climaxing with the Nardi year, which was one of the most, you know,
amazing acceptance speech.
Most amazing acceptance speech. So it had everything, you know, it had absolutely everything, this show, and brilliantly filmed. And it even had, of course, which they have got rid of, the little inserted historical bits about the history of a digestive or whatever, you know, which people like, couldn't believe they still carried on doing those little knowledgeable, you know, educational bits. They have got rid of those in this, right? Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I'm not too furious about that. But I just think I enjoyed it, but it was exactly what I expected it to be, which was a very good show, and I liked everyone in it, and they're all fine, but it's just not as good fundamentally for me. So for me, it's like it is in the shadow of the perfect Bake Off.
But can I ask you a question then?
Yes.
So when, you know, Channel 4 bought the show and Mel Sue and Mary said they weren't going to do it, in your opinion then, do you think the whole show should have been rested and they shouldn't have done it?
No, not at all.
So it was always going to be...
I don't have a moral issue with
it. It was always going to fail, though, then, if you think it's perfect how it was.
No, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch it. This whole thing about if you don't think they're as good, if you're risk-averse to change, don't watch it. I am going to carry on watching it because I enjoy the format. It's a brilliant format. And there's something great about watching people bake. And by the way, this opening episode is rescued for me brilliantly by the final challenge.
The final showstopper is incredible.
So the showstopper is they have to create these cakes to look like something else.
Yeah. A cake that's not a cake.
A cake that's not a cake. And that is spectacular.
I've never, in a first episode, right. I don't think you've ever seen showstoppers like you're going to see in this first episode.
That was a stroke of genius because that, for me, that was absolutely brilliant. Up until then, I have to say, I was thinking, this is, for me, like the worst episode of Bake Off in a few years because it's been so relentlessly brilliant. No, it's not
right,
such a good
okay.
This is a perfect show. It's now a perfectly good show, but it's not a perfect show.
Okay, let me ask
That's
you.
That's all I'm saying.
Let
and
me
I'll
ask
carry on
you.
Watching it.
Okay.
And I think people should carry on
all
watching
right,
it.
Okay,
it's just
right.
not one of the greatest shows on TV anymore.
Okay. However, if you could pick two other people, and you have to pick two other people, okay?
Yeah.
That weren't Mel and Sue. Mel and Sue have just decided they're not going to do it anymore. Just right. Let's just pretend they were like, no, it's not going to happen. Right. Which two people would you say would have been better suited to be those presenters and step into those shoes?
You have to pick anyone in the world.
Anyone.
Anton Deck.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah. The problem is, I don't... You're looking at me like I'm not... I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. You're being very... I feel you're being very defensive about it. I'm not saying...
Well, I haven't said anything, so... And
but the reaction on your face.
Yeah, but the
disdain. I am describing the literally disdain dripping from your facial expression.
That is just my face.
Why I'm not saying... Let me emphasise one more time. I enjoyed it very much.
It just doesn't sound like you did.
It's like it's like comparing the film Dunkirk to a perfectly good war film about Dunkirk, which there are many.
I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, it is.
I'm with
what
Kate.
I'm saying, no, Bake Off has been one of the greatest stories of British TV the last few years. It was the biggest thing on TV, bigger than X Factor, bigger than Britain's Got Talent.
Okay.
Because everything about it was incredible. Now, everything about it is absolutely fine.
Well, I just think if Mary Berry had just been gone, okay, yeah. And they still had Mel and Sue, would you still be saying that it's amazing.
That would have been better, yeah. And by the way, I agree with you. I think Noel Fielding is a lovely guy. I think he's funny.
I think he's brilliant in this.
I just think, I don't think there's, I felt the chemistry between them was a slightly forced.
Yeah, but I've got a counterpoint to this. Because there was a couple of moments where I was like, oh, it was a little bit stilted.
Yeah.
This is the first episode. If
of
we
course.
Rewind back to Mel and Sue's first episode, the same thing would have happened.
No, because they've been a double act for decades.
But I mean, some of the jokes might not have landed.
I think it's different. I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any way, apart from Anton Deck hosting, which was your good question, that to replicate that incredible natural chemistry between everyone in this show. And now
you've got a
really good show, but it's just not got...
Yeah, okay, I'm happy with you saying it's a good show, not fine was not... I didn't like the fine.
It's a good show.
The question is, okay, what are people watching this for? Are they watching it for the bakers? Are they watching it for the presenters? Are they watching it for just the bloody cakes? You know, and
everything for me. Always.
But well, no, I don't agree because okay. I think some people are just watching it for the journey. Using your favourite word, for the journey of the bakers. And if you are, then a lot of the time the presenters, if they are just fine, as you say, it's okay.
You know what? All the pogs out there just need to suck it and see.
Watch it for yourself. You're right. We've gone on way too long. We're gonna go way over an hour. And Kay, you're gonna be furious.
Yeah.
If that happens.
Then you'll see what's not fine.
Disdain will be exploding from you.
Well, I feel like you brought that on yourself, though, to be honest, because you just...
Well, daring to disagree.
Yeah, I really do. I just think once you walk into this
know your
last
limits, boy,
case, you need to agree with everything we say. Otherwise, what is the point?
Anyway, The Great British Bake Off can be watched for yourselves on Channel 4 this next Tuesday at 8 o'clock to 9:15, an hour and a quarter with ads is on the Channel 4. But how many stars are we all going to give it, Kay?
Just... to wind you up fully, I'm going to do 5 stars. It's 5 stars for me.
Oh, I think this is a... this is Steph. I think this is a... I think this is a five-star show.
Still Steph. 5 stars. Obviously, it's a 4 from me. 4. Not 3. 4.
Boyd,
it's a
really,
big
I think,
recommendation.
Boyd, I just...
I think you're completely misreading my...
I think it's the Spanish flight talking.
Sensitive.
That's what I think.
Jesus. I'm not sure if Prue Leaf would be this angry at my 4-star.
Wait till she listens to this.
Star review. Moving on. Listeners,
as we must.
Victoria is back for its second series this Sunday, the 27th. It's a bank holiday weekend, of course, so there's lots of big stuff. 9:05 p.m. Why is it on at 9:05 p.m?
I know.
Irritatingly.
News update? Maybe
on ITV. I don't know.
Well, they're predicting the news. It's going to be a news update.
Some
major news is going to break.
I like the idea.
Now,
I know for a fact that Kay has been monitoring this show since its very beginning, since its very birth. So apart from the fact that it does, of course, start Jenna Coleman, ex-Doctor Who lady, as Queen Victoria, and Tom Hughes as Prince Albert. little German accent there. Tell us, and of course it's created by Daisy Goodwin, who I kind of know a little bit, actually. I've met her a few times.
You know everyone.
You
know
everyone.
But I have to mention
Did
that.
Did you know Queen Victoria?
No, but I'd wish I'd met her and Prince Albert. So, okay, where are we at with series two? Are we in Victoria's life?
Okay, so it picks up a month after the end of the first series, and Victoria's had her daughter named Princess Victoria... Vicky the Second.
Imaginative.
And she's very much frustrated and bored with being on maternity leave, right? She's
Do they call it maternity
mat leave?
Mat leave.
I'm bringing it into modern terms.
How long does she get off?
Yeah, too long is the point.
Queenness. Queendom.
Yeah. She's bored. She's itching to get back to state affairs.
Yep.
Albert wants her to rest. He wants to, look into his issues. He's... particularly interested in the reformation of the army.
A kleiner Mädchen, they have to do the rest. Yeah. Carry on.
God, I'm loving this. He's also weirdly obsessed with helmets.
Oh,
We'll get to that.
Helmets.
And she's very much struggling with the loss of power, and there's a power struggle between them. Also, she's missing the intimacy between them. And he classically thinks that she has changed since childbirth. Anyway.
Kay was doing the old visual quote marks thing over changed.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's... trying to get back her power, and she's particularly annoyed because her troops are in Afghanistan and they're keeping information from her about whether they're safe or not, and so she wants to get back.
She doesn't need protecting. She wants
to know
everything.
She doesn't need protecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Stefan, an intriguing thing about this for me is I watched episode 1, don't know about you, of first series, but I didn't carry on watching it.
Oh, no, I watched all of it.
Did
I loved
you?
It.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So I'm coming back to it. And one of the things that people said about, I remember at the time, people, although they always do, rather boringly with these things, questioned its... accuracy, didn't they? Would
accuracy, schmaccuracy.
And also, right wing commentators and critics observe that it has got a very feminist tone to it. Do you know what I mean? She's a strong, woman.
Victoria was strong though.
Yeah, but everyone
was quick.
Do you remember everyone was like, oh, she's not fat enough? All of that kind of malarkey.
Oh, God.
I bet there were
Queen
that.
Victoria was as tall as she was wide, and Jenna Coleman is a
skinny cow.
Yeah.
But anyway, so taking all that into account, what did you think of this opening episode?
I mean, I was religiously watched Victoria. Actually, one of the things, you know, I usually binge, I did watch it every week, and it's perfect. I love Jenna Coleman. I mean, they are a couple in real life, so I also do love her and Albert together. But I just, I love everything about it. I love all of the visuals. I love all of the outfits. I love her relationship with her dog. I think it's amazing. I also love the, like, the little subplots of the cook. Oh, did you not like that, Kay?
See, the only thing I don't like about it is the focus on downstairs. Because for me, it's not Downton Abbey,
like,
right?
That.
It's Victoria. I want to be focusing on the royal family. And I feel like there's a chef in the new series who's new and he's a bit aggressive and this. And there's a subplot involving him. And I mean, it does involve... what's his name, Mr. Franatelli?
Yeah,
you know,
the chef
being asked to come back. So that's good because he was a great character from the first series. But other than that, the subplots downstairs and the minutiae of the world downstairs, I'm less interested.
But
in.
Two things I want to say. I'm loving Dame Diana Rigg.
Oh, well, I was going to mention
she
that.
Is, wow,
so Dame
is great.
Fresh from dying in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she's out.
Oh, don't bring up Game of Thrones again.
Oh,
all right, I'm just.
I can't bear you two here going at
it's
it
okay,
again.
Okay, he's wrong. We settled fine. That. It's we're fine.
I'm traumatised, sorry.
Very traumatised by our disagreement.
Dame Diana Rigg.
She did die a few weeks ago in GOT.
Yeah.
And she was brilliant in GOT. She was horrible.
Do you agree on that? Incredible. Okay, yeah.
We're agreeing on Rigg. And she's kind of, slightly haughty figure. Yeah. She's the new, what's she called her job? I'm testing you.
Oh, she's Mistress of the Robes?
Mistress of the Robes.
I love the show.
And she at one point very amusingly complains that it's dirty, Buckingham Palace is dirty. Yeah. She puts a finger on the painting and
she's cantankerous. She's very
But it doesn't get better than Dame Diana.
It doesn't get better. Apart from when, my favourite bit of this whole episode was when Victoria turns to Albert and says... I'm sorry I was so rude about your helmets.
Oh.
That is the greatest line.
Yeah, also, at one point, because this helmet gate, which I'm obsessed with, she goes, I don't give a fig about your helmets. A lot of helmet chat.
Yeah, because lovely Albert, his interests include designing helmets for the army.
Because he wants them to be more comfortable.
He wants them to be comfortable. Yeah. And then it's ridiculous. They've got horrible... And he's also interested in... He writes music.
He does. He composed for the christening.
Music for the christening.
Lovely.
Trying very hard.
Which is great. His brother's back. He's in love with the former mistress of the robes, the Duchess
Harriet. Talking of accuracy, so other than the helmet chat, at one point there was discussion about Albert dressing to the left.
Yes.
Now, this seemed out of the blue to me. And also, is that historically accurate, do we know?
Well, probably is because, so Daisy Goodwin's source material for this is her diaries. Victoria's own diaries.
Not Daisy's diaries.
Not Daisy's diaries. No, that would be ludicrous. She's not Queen Victoria. She's very much still with us. And a lot of it, obviously for example, like, the thing that people complained about in series one was this, that she was in love with the Prime Minister.
Yeah, Melbourne.
In series one. And people said, that's no evidence for that. But she wrote very fondly of him, I think, in the diaries. And David Goodwin kind of interpreted that and obviously used dramatic license. I think it's absolutely fine. Mm. I think the whole historical accuracy thing is just bullshit.
Who cares?
Anyway, who cares?
When
when
you're dramatising things, I think people just get... Like, if you want to be historically accurate, watch a history documentary.
Yes, exactly. God's I agree with you.
Or get a time machine and go back.
I agree with you.
Oh,
I'm in agreeance.
It happened.
Sorry,
I'm in full agreeance. Yeah, because you're right. It's a drama. Yeah. It's not. It's not a 25 documentary.
Exactly.
It's about fucking.
Shut up.
And yeah. So
long and short.
Needlessly
so he
now.
Then he does dress to the left.
Well, I'm sure. I imagine. I haven't checked, but a lot of those things are from the diaries. There was a really good article by a historian who wrote a biography of Victoria. I think it was in the Guardian for the last series, saying historians love it because they can see the things she has taken from the diaries. There's little things, and it's then turned into a drama in the next week. And I bet that's one of them. Yeah,
something just for everyone.
So I think it's very entertaining. I kind of agree about the downstairs. I can do without the downstairs, doesn't bother me enough. It's just clearly, and I think that's definitely designed, because this is a big thing in America as well. It's shown.
It's a Downton vibe.
It's shown in the same channel as Downton was shown. So I think for them, it's almost like a sequel to Downton, using Victoria and the downstairs as the equivalents of, Hugh Bonneville and the downstairs characters in Downton Abbey. I think that's fine. It doesn't bother me. So it's very enjoyable, entertaining mainstream TV, isn't it?
I think Jenna Coleman's great.
But the most important thing is Jenna Coleman, you're right, and Tom Hughes. As Albert,
they have
lovely chemistry together.
They have lovely chemistry.
Thank you.
Okay, just as a small interjection, have you both watched the end of Paula now? Because we've only been waiting for like 18 weeks.
Yes,
to finish
I did.
It. Oh my God, how amazing is it?
Oh yeah, Tom Hughes was in it.
Tom Hughes was in it.
Not doing a weird German accent.
As an evil rat catcher.
Irish accent.
A hot rat catcher.
Oh my God, Boyd, are you going to watch the end of it? Can we talk about it?
I will.
Oh, okay, we can't talk about it.
No, don't talk about it. Don't ruin it for me.
19 weeks and counting that we can't talk about the end of Paula.
Victoria starts on Bank Holiday Sunday, as I've invented a new thing, 27th of August.
Is it Bank Holiday Sunday?
Yeah. bank holiday Monday next Monday.
Yeah, but do you call the Sunday?
No, I'm saying I've invented that.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
I missed that bit.
That's what I meant. At the slightly irritating time of 9:05 p.m.
No, it isn't irritating because you could go at 9 o'clock and go, oh, I'll have a cup of tea before I watch Victoria. That's a 5-minuter. It's fine.
Fair enough. How many stars, Kay, are you giving it?
I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Steph.
This is Steph. And I'm going to give it 4 stars.
I'm in agreement again. I'm going to give it 4 stars.
What a beautiful moment, guys. Honestly. I feel
beautiful.
Like we turned a corner.
We're all back.
Stop.
We're all friends again. Or are we?
No.
Because what's going to happen with Celebrity Island with Bear Grylls, episode 1, going on Channel 4 next Tuesday, 9:15, straight after Bake Off, by the way.
So this what a great day to be alive.
Yeah, blockbuster.
No, just switch over afterwards.
Oh, here we go. She's already got it on.
Well,
she's
got her grills.
She's got that look. She's got the look
of...
She's
got up in her Bear Grylls, yeah, that's for sure.
She really has. So yeah, this is the format where 10, as Channel 4 describes them, brave celebrities endure 4 weeks surviving in one of the toughest environments on Earth. And the group of them, as in real, so this was started out as The Island with Bear Grylls, and he gets some of the people that to film it on cameras. They get trained how to film it, and that happens in the celebrity version as well. So go on, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, I thought that bit was crackers. I thought the camera people. Yeah. I thought they would just be able to go home, like hop onto a boat and go.
What have they ever done?
No,
that
so
they
Sharon,
have to
for
be
example,
in it as well.
No,
poor
Sharon
things.
Davis, who ex Olympic swimmer, Sharon Davis is one of the camera people, and yeah, but that's what they do in the normal version
what?
Of The Island. Yeah,
Sharon
yeah, yeah.
Davis is a camera woman.
Yeah, she's one of the people. She's wielding a camera. In the show, isn't she?
Yeah, but they also
filming
have.
Stuff.
Yeah, but also they have. You know, the camera people.
Well, I know
that
camera people as well.
Back.
But they have some of the celebrities get involved in the filming as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Sharon Davis is very arsey on this.
Should
show.
We? She is very arsey. Should we list the celebrities? I think people want to know, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
Breaking Bad.
Here is a list of people you're soon to hate.
Breaking Bad's actor RJ Mitte, who was the son. In Breaking Bad, Olympian and broadcaster Ewan Thomas. Kay's already shaking her head. She's got a lot to say about Ewan Thomas, I feel. Actor and Rizzle Kicks dude, Jordan Stevens. Mm-hmm. Comedian Mark Watson. He's a very funny comedian.
Oh,
very,
he's so
yeah.
sweet.
Actor Ryan Thomas used to be in Coronation Street, mm-hmm. I do believe.
Yeah.
Former TOWIE star Lucy Mecklenburg.
Now girlfriend of Ryan Thomas.
Oh, mm-hmm. there you go.
Ooh, good fact.
Sharon Davis, aforementioned Olympic swimmer and TV presenter. Former pussycat doll Melody Thornton. I had no idea who she was. Comedian and writer Shazia Mirza, who, yeah, she's interesting. I'm going to call her, I'm going to say this now, I'm going to call her feminist comedian and writer, Shazia Mirza. Yeah.
A woman says something like a little bit forceful, she doesn't mean she's automatically a feminist. But
we'll
come on to that.
All right. And TV doctor Sarah Kayat.
Yeah, a good person to have on this kind of situation. Mm-hmm.
So... I get the feeling, Steph, you have issues.
Oh, my God.
What's your problem?
Right, okay. So they get dropped onto this island by Bear Grylls, okay? And then their first time... So all these celebrities go, they get given, like, 3 big tanks of water, don't they? What are they called?
Jerry cans.
Jerry cans of water. And so their first thing is they've got to find somewhere to make, like, a base camp, okay? Oh, God. And then Ewan Thomas...
Have you actually been on the island? Have you exhausted? You sound very exhausted.
Do you know who's exhausted me? I'll give you a fact, right? I watched this in the bath. Right? I thought, I'll have a relaxing bath.
Oh, so you had enough
and
water.
I'll have a relaxing bath and I'll watch this because we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I went all rigid because I was so unrelaxed, if that's even a word, by Ewan Thomas.
This is really bringing up a
visual
that I didn't...
me completely mental. From the first minute that he steps off that bloody boat, he starts shouting out orders and giving it like, I'm Ewan Thomas, I'm a big man. And then he just continues the whole episode. He needs a punch in the face. I'm sorry, he does.
He is a knob, isn't he?
Oh, he's more than a knob.
Are we in agreement?
Oh,
yeah.
But no, can I... Right, don't defend him, please, because I honestly, if I see him, he's going down.
He's awful.
He decides to be the leader. And they kind of agree that he should be the leader, but he's definitely loving it. I'm going to be the leader.
He's almost standing there saying it.
Go on.
For me, I love an Olympian. You know that, right? Because
I love an Olympian.
I do love an Olympian because I respect them. You know, the level of dedication, of strength, power, all this kind of stuff. So I wanted to like him is the point.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then he gets in front of the group and he goes, I hope and pray people will look to me for strength. What? He's got such a God complex. He's so annoying. But do you know what? More than that, he's one of those annoying people in a challenge. Because I was just imagining if I was there. He's this kind of like alpha male who doesn't think.
Yeah.
He thinks by running around, if I run around and expend the most energy, that I'm obviously doing the most. And it's like, they go in search of water. He decides to follow his sense. He can sense water in a certain direction. Like, almost like, oh God, this blade of grass is pointing that direction. I'm sensing it's there. You're an idiot, right?
No, he's just, right. And he's like a tattooed
He walks
knob.
Around for seven...
He's got a massive amount of tattoos.
Yeah, he's gone from Olympian to being a tattooed moron.
Yeah.
7 hours, they're walking around essentially in a circle, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah. And he still won't admit that he's wrong, which is so annoying. And you know the bit, they do like these little segments of where they talk about who the person is. And in his segment, he's obviously gone, yeah, listen, just get me on my motorbike and get me driving away from my house on a motorbike. And then he goes, yeah, I'm a real, like, he says the words alpha male so much. Yeah. And it's like, when he's then lying on the beach because he hasn't been able to find any water, no. I just think, you're
it's brawn, it's brawn's over brain with him.
He is a gigantic twat.
He honestly, he's honestly one of the worst people
but
ever.
What's also amazing about him is the lack of self-awareness, because
he
thinks he's brilliant. Even though he's failed miserably, as you say, to find the water, and Shazia Mirza, you're right, I shouldn't have labelled as feminist. It's more... I think it's the editing of the show.
She's just a truth. She's sensible.
She's just a sensible person.
Brilliantly, spoiler alert, she does find the water.
Of course she does, in 2 hours.
And her and Sarah Kayat, the doctor, do... it's no exaggeration. It's to say that pretty much every clip they're shown of them talking, explaining what's happened, they're talking about how the women have triumphed. I mean, I don't blame them, quite rightly, too. That's why I unfairly labelled her. And everyone should be a feminist. But they kind of do... There is that kind of gender divide is what the story of the first episode
is. Yeah, but they wouldn't have had a gender divide if you and Thomas hadn't made that so clear, I am man,
yeah,
I must collect wood and
Do you know what provide shelter. Say about Ewan Thomas? He's the kind of guy who, if you're in the Crystal Maze, and I will bring it back to Crystal Maze, he's the one at the end in the Crystal who'd be jumping around like a blue-ass fire trying to catch the bits of gold in the air and wouldn't take the sensible option of looking at the floor and just picking
them up. Oh my God, absolutely.
He's an idiot.
He's
funny, isn't it? He's a git. He walks around, and there's a weird bit which we mentioned some of the others, so he walks around a lot with Ryan Thomas and Jordan from the Rizzle Kick Jordan, and they really horrible to Jordan. I didn't know what Jordan had done wrong.
Basically, that in that bit, which I thought was stupidly edited, they make out that the way that Jordan is expressing his frustration at not finding the water is aggressive. It's like, this man hasn't drunk any water for like 40 hours.
He was just being perfectly normal, wasn't he?
But do you know who I really loved? Mark Watson. Yeah, and the amazing clip where someone says to him, oh, why are they not listening to the women? He goes, because it will take sometimes thousands of years for men to understand the importance of women. And you just think, oh, he's a little sweetie.
He's a lovely guy. Mark Watson is a proper dude.
Are you going to say RJ?
RJ Mitzi's the star.
8 hours trying to make fire with his glasses.
Yeah, but he also just wanders off.
Oh, he's great.
Good for him, wouldn't you, if you were with those people?
You and Thomas.
I would walk into the sea, the ocean, and just never come back.
I'd walk into the sea and say, find me the biggest shark and just end it. I had to spend another hour with you and Thomas.
Can I just tell you one more quote from you and Thomas that makes me want to shoot myself? Right? When he breaks down, having been unsuccessful at finding water, which he so boldly said he could do, and he has a breakdown, and he goes, oh my God, I'm just hormonal like a woman at the month, and I need to pull myself together. And I thought, my fist is going to go through this screen.
I know.
I'm going to splinter shatter.
So awful?
He's looking for a punch.
The problem is, so here's the question as we wind up our review of the show. Is he so irritating that it's actually going to stop you from watching it?
No, absolutely not.
No, okay.
For me, it is because I am sick to the back teeth of people being annoying on television. I really am. Big Brother at the moment is driving me nuts. I had to stop watching that.
I do think they want to have their cake and eat it with the show. And I thought it was very compelling because they are brilliantly chosen, these people. But right at the beginning, in the intro, they say, oh, celebrity culture has taken over the world. I'm like, this is contributing massively to celebrity culture, obviously. You can't try and pretend it's some kind of way of challenging it. That's preposterous. No. But
my two last things, Shaz, as I'm calling her, she runs a risk of getting quite annoying herself, though, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Through
her
bashing of the, like, women are stronger, they just don't listen to us. The other thing to quickly mention is these Bear Grylls inserts. What is the point? He's literally just standing there just going, if they don't get water, they will die. Yeah. No shit, Bear.
Yeah.
No shit, Bear. Bear, no shit in the woods.
Wasn't he staying in hotels anyway throughout his whole series? Wasn't that uncovered? So he doesn't know anything about living on an island.
Allegedly. There were allegations that he wasn't fully... I think he denied them fully.
He's not as twatty as you.
He's on a boat, so he's
It is funny. The format is funny because all the action happens and he's not with them at all.
It's a shoehorn.
From the beginning to the end, and then he's standing there on the island just pontificating about, oh, they've got...
I'm like, save it, Bear, unless you're like really thirsty like them. I don't want to know.
Oh, this is just the Ewan Thomas show, and you should not tune in.
It's well, on that basis, how many stars are you giving it?
I actually hate him.
How many stars are you giving the show?
I actually hate him.
How many stars?
No stars. I don't want anyone to have be subjected or have a bath like I did and think, I'll watch this and be interested, and then just have a terrible bath.
Warning people, do not watch in the bath.
No.
Kay, how many stars are you giving? Are you being...
Come on,
no,
Kay.
No, I'm actually going to give it 4 stars. Mm. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use...
That non-lack of sound there was me with my mouth open, completely aghast.
But his personality isn't the fault of the show.
Of course, it's good casting.
And it makes it more compelling, actually.
But then putting him in the show and you having to watch it with your eyes and your ears is a problem.
It makes it more compelling. Can you imagine if they all got on and you had all very beige people?
Lucy and Ryan got on, that's for sure.
You need to have doofuses in these shows. And
that particular doofy gets too much airtime.
All right, I'm giving it 3 stars. I'm in the middle. Anyway, finally, also showing... Unbelievably, now we know. I'll tell you why Victoria's on at 9:05, because The Cuckoo's Calling, the first strike episode, is on at 9:05 on BBC One on Bank Holiday Sundays.
That
I'm calling
ridiculous.
It now as well. This is what happens in the British way.
Oh my
way
God,
of, yeah,
that is so petty and ridiculous.
Scheduling. Competitive show. You have to decide, listeners, whether you're going to watch Strike, based on the Cormoran Strike novels by J.K. Rowling, or you're going to watch Series 2 of Victoria, because they're on at exactly the same effing time.
And no one can get anything on catch-up, so, I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that to you, I'm talking about the stupid people who, like, schedule stuff.
Yeah, but doesn't it mean more if you watch it live, because it means you like it more?
Exactly. You choose which one you like more, to watch first.
Wait a minute.
It does. We got live numbers and you got catch up numbers.
Yeah, it's like when the famous clash between Street and X Factor, whichever one you watch live is the one you prefer, isn't it? Obviously, X Factor. Anyway, Strike.
What?
Yeah.
X Factor over Strictly.
Always.
Oh boy. Bye.
We'll get to that in a few weeks' time. Stop.
Woo!
Okay, sorry.
We've got to review Strike, which is the adaptation. So what they're doing with Strike is the novels that have been written so far by J.K. Rowling about Cormoran Strike, the private investigator, they're turning into separate adaptations. So this is a three-parter, but then the next two are going to be two-parters. See what I mean? So they're going to be like TV events, I think.
Doesn't that make any sense?
Well, I think because this is three parts, mainly because they have to introduce the characters, they have to introduce him and his sidekick and explain the whole situation. Robin Ellicott.
Played by Holiday Granger.
Played by Holiday Granger, exactly. As well. So I think that's why this is three parts, but the rest of it are going to be two parts that are based on the other novel. So we should say that Cormoran Strike himself is played by Tom Burke, who you met, Kay, I remember, and you very much liked on the set of War and Indeed Peace.
Yeah, because he played Dolokhov in War and Peace, and he was brilliant. Aww. And I have a picture taken with them.
Very good actor. Holiday Granger. So if you haven't read the novels, Cormoran Strike is a private investigator. He's a very interesting figure. He's got most of one leg. He's been amputated because he was served in the war in Afghanistan. And his father is a famous rock star, fictional rock star.
Who's estranged from,
doesn't really know. He had him like kind of out of wedlock and all of that, and the father doesn't have much to do with him. And he's just kind of fallen out with his girlfriend right at the beginning of the episode.
The socialite.
Yeah, she walks away from him. And so he's kind of down on his luck pretty much. And he's kind of in this dusty, horrible office. It's all messy and he's sleeping there as well. And he needs a help from his assistant. So he does employ, via an agency, this woman who arrives, Robin Ellicott. And she turns out to be brilliant and clever and smart and rearranges his life. And together they investigate the opening mystery, which is about the death of a supermodel. And this supermodel has plunged to her death from her penthouse apartment. And everyone assumes, the police decide it was suicide, but her brother, her very posh brother, comes to see Cormoran. They've met years ago to say, I think it was murder. And that is the beginning of the mystery. What do we think of the whole thing? Is it, one thing I was going to say was that it felt quite old-fashioned to me. You know, in a world of Sherlock, for example, which is very snazzy, whiz-bang visuals all over the place.
It's just a straight whodunit.
Right. Mm. It feels like a very old school. Have you read the novels?
No, I was going to say, have you read it?
Yeah. Okay. And they are very much old school. I mean, they're very much set in the modern world. And this does have stuff to say about celebrity culture, for example. It's no accident. She's got newspaper reporters in it and media and agents and lawyers and all that kind of stuff. But I feel it's almost like more style classic detective fiction, mm-hmm. and almost going further back, like Philip Marlowe's style, if anyone's read those books, like, you know, The Long Goodbye, going back to whatever the 20s or whatever, 30s. I think she loved that kind of classic whodunit format. And this is one of those, and I really enjoyed it on that level, that it literally lays out the story for you very clearly. It lays out a series of
very
suspects,
easy to follow.
All of whom, as time goes on, have reason to commit this murder. And I thought it was really entertaining.
Did you think that it did the novel justice? Then?
Very cleverly, yeah. And in fact, Tom Burke, when they announced that Tom Burke was playing this character, I was completely like, well, that doesn't make sense, because in the book he's very much like a big bear of a guy.
Oh, but
he's
he massive. Is a big bear.
Oh, well, that's interesting, because he's not. In
he's
real life,
rugged.
He's quite short.
Is he?
Yeah. He's not very tall. And they said the way they filmed it in a certain way to make him look bigger than he really
looks
is.
Like he's like getting tall.
No, that's interesting.
I had never seen him in anything before, and I really loved him. I was like, who is this amazing actor? Yeah, I really, really liked it. I thought it was great. Do you know what I thought, though? One of the things I liked about it is it felt like the kind of thing that's on at Christmas times.
Well, it is a bank holiday.
Well, it's a sort of a holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's special things on a bank holiday.
I know, but it's very Christmassy feel.
Okay, because there's snow. There is snow in it.
Yeah, there's
snow.
And also it's set where we used to work, where Heat Towers used to be based. Denmark Street, which is in central London. Yeah. So I like that.
His office is in Denmark Street, which is the street with all the guitars, music shops and guitar shops and everything. And he fancied himself as a musician. What did you think, Kay?
I really like Tom Burke. I think he's brilliant and he's brilliantly cast. I mean, I haven't read the books, but as the...
I thought you were going to say you don't like Holiday Granger then.
Uh-oh.
I didn't warm to her. I don't know if she was playing it... I don't know if she was playing it cold on purpose.
Just went really street there. Mm. I don't know. It went all Jay-Z, sorry.
Very much.
Yeah, I don't know, like, if she's meant to be playing it very cold. I didn't sense this.
No,
is there meant to be, like, chemistry between them? And I hope, hopefully that'll bubble up at some point.
I think she's trying to hold back her... Like, she's obviously really, like... admires him and is really excited about him because she was going home and like googling him and everything, and she talks to her boyfriend about her fiance sorry about him. I just think she's trying to play it cool, but she's really excited because the bit where she says, and this is not really a spoiler, is it, she says oh I could come back next week, you can tell she's really excited, she wants to work
yeah,
with
him. That's not a spoiler because she will be in every single episode
Boyd, this is not a spoiler.
Definitely not a spoiler.
Yeah, for me like none of the characters really stood out other than him, and I felt like the mystery like the whole investigation was very it wasn't very pacey, it was like quite slow to establish itself, and I wasn't that interested in the mystery.
I
quite liked the back to basics feel of it though, like you said. Actually sometimes the thing right now I'm not as smart as you are, so sometimes with the old Sherlocks I'd have to watch them a couple of times because
they were very densely
say
plotted.
That for the 17th time because I don't know what is happening here, and so I don't know, I feel like maybe I was in the mood for a stripped back detective
series. It's almost a bit too basic when nothing was really
murder, people who might have done it, person who did it.
There didn't seem a lot, I don't know, no finesse. I don't know what it is. I'm going to keep on watching, though.
I watched the second episode as well,
yeah,
so I'm further in.
Yeah, because he is very good. He's the main draw for me.
Yeah, he's great. I think the chemistry between us is it's friendship, and that's the really refreshing thing. So one of the great things about the books, and one of the many themes of it, is a friendship between a man and a woman that it has no romantic... no romantic underplay. So even though they're both kind of got attraction to each other in various ways, it's about that they both respect each other. And it doesn't take long for her, Robin, to very much impress upon him, who's this kind of very quiet, you know, eccentric figure with lots of things going on in his life, that she's his absolute equal. And that's one of the big things about the books. And I thought
and
they did that really well.
And
by the middle of the... I've seen the first two, so I can't quite remember what happens in which episode. But by the end of the second episode, it's quite clear they're both investigating this together and they're a team. And, you know, it's a bit like Holmes and Watson, where Watson was always kind of the... Even though Sherlock is the genius, he needs Watson. Mm. And without Watson, he's not going to function. And in this, it gets to that point as well, where he needs her.
Well, this sounds like they become more equal than
Sherlock and
Watson.
So I think that's the other thing that's happening, isn't it? Yeah. So the investigation... I think it's interesting because she does... In all of the books, she's kind of taking a world and investigating it in these mysteries. And this world is celebrity. Mm. And I thought the way she does it is convincing. Because often it's terrible, isn't it? When you see, do you know what I mean? When they're portraying premieres and modelling. Yeah. And there's a photo shoot in episode 2, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to see what you think as a professional photo expert.
I thought
that is how it works, you know. And all of it feels authentic. That's what I'm grasping for. And she's saying stuff about celebrity, she's saying stuff about race a bit in it without pushing it too far. And definitely friendship, I really thought was really good.
I tell you what is convincing, that prosthetic leg. How do they do
some
of that filming?
Do you know what? This is going to sound incredibly stupid, but I was like, oh my God, they've actually got an amputee, because I'd never seen him before in anything before. I was like, that was an amazing scene. When yeah.
So you were so convinced you thought that Tom Mert was an amputee?
Yeah, I really did. No, honestly, I haven't seen him in anything before.
Yeah, it's CGI.
But I was, it's incredible.
It was brilliant.
Incredible. So I was wondering, yeah. I thought maybe...
It was very well done.
Oh my God.
It was a mix of different... In fact, I cards on the table, I hosted the screening for this, so I interviewed them all. I interviewed... him.
How did they do it?
And they didn't want to give away too much. There's definitely CGI involved. Yeah,
you've had so many cards on the table. We are
a lot of cards on the table.
The whole pack's out.
I also
yeah.
want to give credit to Ben Richards, is the guy who adapted the novel. I think he's done a brilliant job, because it is complicated. It's like 500 meaty book. There's a lot going on in that book, and he kind of simplifies it very well. He introduces the characters. I think by the end of it, you feel like you know who these people are, don't you?
Oh, it's very much laid out. Yeah, I mean, maybe this was a scene setter.
It definitely.
Martin Shaw's in it, we should say as well.
Oh, brilliant Martin scene. Shaw, forgot about him. Yeah, he's
so that's
great in it.
One of the great scenes in the book is where Martin Shaw plays the lawyer of the woman who's died, and he's kind of a very snotty, doesn't think that Cormoran Strike should be involved in the investigation at all, and he's horrible to him in the restaurant. He shows up in the restaurant, and that's a brilliantly done, that scene, I thought, between the two of them. Do you think that's a great scene? Great scene, Kate?
I love Martin
Shaw.
Admit,
that was a good scene.
That was a good scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, how many stars are we giving Strike? It's on August Bank Holiday Sunday, and it continues the next night.
Sunday?
It is Bank Holiday Sunday, as I'm calling it. Mm-hmm. And it continues the next night on the actual Bank Holiday Monday.
Oh, that's good. And when does the last
9
one
o'clock.
Come out?
Then the last one is a week later on the Sunday.
Why have they done that?
It's slightly weird. They could have,
it's the ruddy bloody schedulers again.
Would have been better to give it 3 nights in a row. Mm,
it would have.
But you have to wait a week for the
Friday,
for the finale.
Saturday, Sunday, I would have done. No, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
That's good scheduling action. Despite the scheduling, how many stars are you giving it, Steph?
I'm going to give it 4. I thought it was great. And I really want to know who did kill her. So
that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the bottom line. It's what you want to find out.
I'm giving it 4 stars too, and all of those go to Tom Burke.
Oh. I'm going to give it 4.5.
Ooh.
Just to reflect the fact that it is very, very good. So that's our main... That's the meat of the show today. There's still...
We
must have gone over an hour. I'm just checking. We've gone over an hour. Kay, apologies to you.
3 hours.
Kay, I'm sorry, because not only did we wish her on about Game of Thrones quite a lot, I had conflict and you were pained about that. You said even watch Game of Thrones, so, you know, furious.
Thank you for your apology, and I accept
it. I'm calling it... This is special. This is like an autumn TV special, so it can be longer.
Okay,
longer
yeah,
than
it's
an hour.
Autumn.
That's
you
my
can't
excuse.
You can't
That's
anyway.
My excuse.
Well, let's hug it out later.
All right, we'll hug it. And we've still got time for question time.
Question time.
Inspired by the fact that we are meeting Strike, Cormoran Strike, the fictional hero of detective drama Strike, who is your favourite TV detective of all time? Steph?
My favourite TV detective of all time, who should be everybody's favourite TV detective of all time, is J.B. Fletcher.
Oh.
Murder,
you've
She Wrote.
Done it.
Oh, my God.
Pulled it out of the hat.
I will still watch 2 Murder, She Wrote every weekend. Okay?
When you say you will, or do you actually?
I do.
Right.
I do.
Okay.
I will. I do.
So you find
I
the time
done.
Every weekend to watch 2 episodes of Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah, it's on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, you can watch they do a double. It's fantastic. You just don't get any better than the great J.B. Fletcher. And if you're a super fan, you'll know that her middle name is Beatrice. Yeah.
Beat that, Kay.
Hercule Poirot.
Of course.
Yeah. And not just any Poirot, David Suchet as Poirot, because he's the only one really that anyone cares about. And he is brilliant for his methodical mind, his little grey cells, and his, like, you know, personality quirks. I just love him. What I would say is I don't think, you know, the film coming up, Orient, Murder on the Orient Express, I don't think
Ken Branagh.
Nope, Ken Branagh shouldn't play him.
Really? No. Why?
Well, so you're averse to change now. This is like me and Bake Off. Ah, hypocrisy, thy name is Kay.
No!
Yes, got you.
No, I think that's different.
Because I said it.
Because she said it, and we want her to win. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to watch that, even though I know that story, that Murder on the Express inside
They've
out.
They've remade
I'm still
that so
it,
many times as well as my other
of
gripe
course.
With it.
Do you ever watch things that you know the ending to then go, oh, I wonder what's going to happen?
Not with this one.
Oh, I do.
No. Rarely.
God, I do. Sometimes I go,
good to know. Well, especially murder show, you probably see them all a million times.
I have, but sometimes on a rare moment, I find one that I've not seen. I mean, that happens maybe once a year.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? I like, yeah, when you see a long running show.
Oh, God. Do you know what? Do you know what one of the greatest things? I think I've talked about this on the podcast before.
No, go on.
The crossover episodes of Murder, She Wrote and Magnum PI.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Two hours long.
I've heard a rumor that they exist, but I've never clapped eyes on them.
One of them's called Magnum on Ice. That's all you need to know. It's incredible.
Like a nice Wasn't Bruce Forsyth in an episode of Magnum or something?
He probably is, because he made a lot of good choices.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm going for? I've thought about this long and hard, and I thought, you know, all the veteran ones and more.
Columbo. Don't say Sherlock.
I love Columbo.
I love Columbo.
Don't say Sherlock.
Are you going to say Sherlock?
I'm going to say Sherlock.
Oh, for God's sake.
I knew you were going to
say Pick something else. You can't say Sherlock again. You're
bullying
always,
me now.
You're always
saying
you love Sherlock.
I might have to go to. Have we got a department?
A pod HR.
HR department?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we have. John.
So, unfortunately, I run it as well. You're complaining.
Engineer, producer, icon, inspiration, John, is going to be. I'm going to report you to him.
If there was no Sherlock, though, what would it be?
But there is Sherlock.
Okay, but just imagine.
Well, if there was no murder, she wrote, what would yours be?
Three hours later, we're still discussing it.
Yeah, Kay's furious because we've gone way over the hour. No, let me just defend myself quickly.
All right.
What other, you know, show in history made the star, made a global superstar overnight of its main detective, Sherlock Holmes, played by Benedict Cumberbatch? I just think it was an incredible story of popular culture.
Question.
And we are, as you know, a popular culture podcast.
Question. Right. Yeah. Did you love Sherlock Holmes
so
much?
No. Not. You mean old Sherlock Holmes, the books by Arthur Conan Doyle?
No.
Oh, okay.
I meant before. Benny Cumberbatch played him. Would you still said, okay, so imagine we're in that time. What's your favourite detective?
Simon Brett, who played Sherlock Holmes. Simon Brett? I might have got his name wrong. No, I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to change my mind.
He's an immovable force.
I am an immovable force. It's the legend that is Benedict Cumberbatch in Sherlock. Right. Apologies.
Can you imagine if Angela Lansbury...
Doofus.
However, can you imagine if Angela Lansbury... and Benedict Cumberbatch were in a murder show together, I mean, and they did a crossover.
That would be mind-blowingly good.
Should take
good.
This off air and have a little think about that.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that you're still spinning this out, and Kay's still even now. We now must be like probably 20 minutes over the hour. It's going to be the longest podcast
in
history.
But it's a special. It's an autumn TV.
It is autumn TV special. Thank you, listeners, very much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more huge new autumn TV stuff. By the way, there's loads more on the way. Bye.
Bye.